Jacob has run away from Laban. And then Laban chases after him, but God looks after Jacob. And so Laban eventually goes home and leaves him in peace. Jacob goes on, and then the angels of God meet him. And when he saw them, Jacob said, "This is God's host," or God's army. Jacob then sent messengers before him to Esau, his brother, in the country of Edom. He commanded them to say, "This is what you've got to tell my master Esau. Your servant Jacob wishes to tell you that he has been staying with Laban long enough, and now he's got oxen, donkeys, great flocks, many servants, and he's sending to tell his lord Esau so that he might find grace or mercy in his eyes." The messengers returned to Jacob, saying, "We went to see your brother Esau, and he's coming to meet you with 400 men with him." Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed.
That's more than 200, even more.
That's right, 400 men. So Jacob divided the people that he had with him into two camps, and the flocks, and the cattle, the herds. He thought, if Esau comes upon one camp and kills them, then the other camp will be able to escape. And then Jacob turns to God. "Deliver me, I pray you, O my God, from the hands of my brother, from the hands of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and strike me and the children and their mothers. But it was you that said to me, 'I will surely do you good, and make your seed, your children, as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered because of multitude.'" Jacob spent the night there, and then he took from all the things that he had a present for Esau his brother: 20 goats, 200 she-goats, 20 rams, 200 ewes, 30 milking camels and their young ones, 10 bulls, 40 cows, 20 asses, and 10 colts. He delivered them to his servants. And he said to the first servant, "When Esau my brother meets you and asks, 'Whose are you, and where are you going, and whose animals are these?' you will answer, 'They belong to your servant Jacob, and they are a present for you, Lord Esau, and behold, your servant Jacob is behind us.'" Jacob gave the same order to the second servant and to the third one. And he told them, "This is how you will speak to Esau." Jacob was thinking, "I will try to make peace with him with the present that I'm sending ahead of me, and later I will see his face. Maybe he will accept me." So the men left with the presents, and Jacob spent that night in the camp. During the night, Jacob rose up and took his two wives and his two female servants, together with his 11 sons, and passed over the river Jabbok. He sent them over the river with everything he had. Then Jacob was left alone. All night long he wrestled with an angel. At daybreak, the angel said to him, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, for you have struggled with God and have won." Jacob lifted up his eyes, and Esau was coming with the 400 men with him. Jacob divided the children between his wives, Leah and Rachel, and the two handmaids. He put the handmaids and their children first, and then Leah and her children, and Rachel and Joseph were last. So you see, Rachel and Joseph were the favourites. He went ahead of them and bowed down to the ground 7 times before Esau. Esau ran to him, embraced him, fell on his neck and kissed him, and they both cried. Esau looked up and saw the women and the children, and he asked, "Who are these with you?" Jacob replied, "These are the children which God graciously gave to your servant." Then the handmaids came near, and their children, and they all bowed themselves to Esau. Then Joseph and Rachel came near, and they bowed themselves. Esau asked, "What do you mean by all the flocks that I met?" Jacob explained, "These are to find grace in the sight of my Lord." "I have enough," Esau said. "Keep all these things for yourself." "No, I pray you," said Jacob, "I beg you that if I have found grace in your eyes, then please receive this present from me, for I have seen your face as though I had seen the face of God, and you accepted me. Take, please, the gift that I have given to you, because God has dealt graciously with me, and I have enough. He kept on urging him, and Esau eventually took it and said, Let us go and start our journey. I'll go in front of you. Well, my lord knows, Jacob said, that the children are very young, and I've got milking cows with their young. If I overdrive them, even for one day, all my flocks will die. Let my lord, I pray, please go ahead of his servant, and I will follow slowly, at the same pace as the cattle, and as fast as the children are able to walk, until I come to my lord at Mount Seir. Esau said, Then let me leave with you some of my men. There's no need for that, said Jacob. Just let me find grace in the eyes of my lord. So Esau left that day and departed for Mount Seir. Jacob went to Shalem, which is in the land of Canaan, and he pitched his tent near there. And he bought a parcel of land where he spread his tent for 100 pieces of money. And he built an altar and called it El Elohi Israel. Now, God had promised that Jacob and Abraham and Isaac would inherit all that land forever. But Jacob had to buy some land. And yet God will fulfill his promises to Jacob. And so, therefore, they're not fulfilled in this life, because Jacob still had to buy some of the land. But God keeps his promises. And so when Jesus comes back, Jacob and Abraham and us will all be resurrected, if we're part of the covenant, we'll be resurrected and given the inheritance of this earth, this land, forever. But at the moment, we walk around in it like we don't own it and like we're strangers. So all the people around us, other boys and girls that you mix with, they and their parents, all they've got is this life, and they're trying to enjoy themselves all they can. But we are living now for the future, because our belief is that when Jesus comes, then we shall be resurrected, and then our real life will start. It's a very hard thing to believe, but we're given these examples of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob because they are the fathers of the faithful.